When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen careful to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit onto all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you."
One year, Pentecost, was my birthday. My birthday fell on Pentecost. I was really chuffed. And I've just realised that sounds a bit geeky, really, doesn't it? Who's even bothered about such a thing? But Pentecost, such an amazing day, such a brilliant season. Well, why? Well, I know it's almost too long ago to remember, no, but weeks and weeks ago, Palm Sunday, then the travail of Holy Week, and then the awful crucifixion, and then that dead time, that waiting time. And then, for the early disciples, initially, confusion, because, I mean, it's about Easter, but Jesus rising from the dead, great news and all that, but it's still a bit confusing for them, especially in those first few days and weeks. Initially, they were hiding, fearing for their lives. What had happened to Jesus? He'd just been arrested and crucified, and who wants that? They didn't, and so they hid initially. And I don't suspect that we want that either. Not arrest and persecution for being a Christian, and no wonder some Christians therefore still hide. But Jesus kept assuring them, encouraging them, and empowering them. And Jesus keeps assuring us too. Then, for 40 days after Easter, through until Jesus' ascension, that's the period that we count that. Oh, and did you spot that? 40 days before Easter is that period we call Lent, and then 40 days after Easter, and then we get to the Ascension. I guess that you spotted that coincidence about 40 days there, didn't you? And then from the Feast of the Ascension, 10 more days are counted to make it up to 50, the Pentecost. Shavuot is one of the Jewish pilgrim festivals. It's still celebrated, in fact, it's been celebrated this last week. And Shavuot is celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 10. And sometimes, in some Jewish circles, it's called Pentecoste. It means the 50th. It's a Greek version of what they say, and they took it. And the name stuck, and certainly by the time of the early church had adopted it too. It's called the Feast of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost in our readings. So the disciples had gathered again, just as we heard in our reading in the book of Acts, gathered together. I wonder if it was the same upper room that they were in Maundy Thursday, or if that was the same room that they were in on Easter Day in the evening, once they'd heard some of the news, where they were still locked in for fear of what might be happening. Or maybe it was somewhere different. But certainly they were gathered together, and there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the Spirit comes, the promised Spirit. Jesus had said to them, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he lives with you and will be in you." On Pentecost, Jesus fulfills his word. The Spirit comes and stays, not just touching them with tongues of flame, as was mentioned in our reading, but abiding with them, dwelling in them, and now staying with them for good. Not like the Spirit popped up in the Old Testament, just landed on someone for a while and then seemed to be gone again. This is a sea change in how the Spirit works. It is so different for the church at that time. No wonder Pentecost is important amongst the feasts that we have within the church. No wonder Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church. It transformed those early disciples. On that first Easter day, that first Pentecost, they bubbled out of the room that they were gathered in. They bubbled out into the streets. The streets that were already rammed with Shavuot pilgrims who were visiting Jerusalem. People from all over the Judeo-Roman world. No wonder they all had those other languages being spoken. Well read by Harry earlier. You need the gift of tongues to read those all out, don't you? And there they were. They were being recognized. What the disciples were saying was being recognized by the people that were speaking to them. They bubbled out with the good news of Jesus. Disciples making disciples. They were transformed, and they in turn, through the power of the Holy Spirit, helped to bring transformation to others. That's why it is that I was chuffed when my birthday landed on Pentecost one year. My Pentecost birthday. That happened when I was a teenager. It hasn't happened since. Apparently it'll happen again in 2039 if I ever live that long. The church sort of official birthday becomes a key thing for, well, for these candidates, it becomes like an official birthday for them too, a very special date for them to remember too. The same Spirit who rested on those disciples that first Pentecost rests on you today to purify and to empower you as the Spirit empowered them to be disciples making disciples, just as we are also called to be as well, called to be disciples, disciples making disciples. You receive the same promised Spirit, God's Spirit who is present, God's Spirit who is personal, God's Spirit who is powerful. Today is Pentecost. Today is your Pentecost. Today is like a special Pentecost birthday. The same Spirit who formed the church, the Spirit who emboldened the apostles, the Spirit who sets hearts ablaze is here for you. For you and in you. So, be bold. Be expectant. Be Spirit-filled. Because you're not being confirmed into a vague hope about some distant God. No, you stand in a long line of promise fulfillment from the God who promised to pour out his Spirit on those first disciples and kept his promise to them, and who will keep his promise to pour out his Spirit on you as well. That's what, in each confirmation service, the bishop's prayer is, as each candidate is being confirmed: confirm, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit. You are confirming what God has already begun, and God is confirming that he is faithful and will complete it. You are being confirmed into a living relationship with God the Father, empowered by God's Holy Spirit to be better equipped to understand the truths of the Christian faith, and held in the peace of Christ our Saviour, the peace of God the Beloved Son. This is your Pentecost. And as you receive the promised Spirit, present, powerful, personal, may this truly be your Pentecost.